They want to believe what their mom and daddy says. They really do. But the kids have a hard time with it. And I hope that you'll listen. One little fellow at the Pump Mobile Ford is in the paper the other day. Said, "Dear Santa, I will leave you some gingerbread cookies and spice and hot pepper. Be careful when you eat them. It will burn your tongue. I want some ninja turtles that can fly. I want some cars. I need a new dog. My other dog got hit by a car." Little girl said, "Dear Santa, how do you make so many toys in one day? I like your fat belly. I want you to bring my brother a Power Ranger. I would like a Christmas tree. Dear Santa, I want a car crusher." Man, that's my kind of guy there. "I want a car crusher." Then listen to what he says. "I want a kitty cat. I want a Zimba that growls." Guy wants a Zimba that growls and a car crusher and a kitty cat. "Dear Santa, Merry Christmas. I want some presents for Christmas. I want a slingshot, a motorcycle, and an airplane. How do you get down the chimney? What do you do when you get down the chimney? What are you going to give me for Christmas?" Amen. Well, I tell you what, we've come a long way from that night divine that she sang about a while ago. I'd like to bring you a thought this morning that I've never used just like this morning from Matthew chapter 2. And I really got the idea for this message in an airport in Texas, I think in Dallas, Texas, a few weeks ago. And I saw in the airport they have all kind of magazine stores and stuff. And you walk by, if you buy M&M's or anything, shirts or anything like that, there's just tons of magazines. And this one right here caught my eye. And it's Life magazine for December, one of the most well-known, respected magazines in America. Life magazine for the month of December, they've read all over the United States and shipped all over the world, has a picture of what they think Jesus Christ looked like on the front of it. And it says, "Who was He?" The world's always asked that question. Who was He? They ask it that night when He was born. Who is this that is born King of the Jews? Where is He? In 1994, the biggest question that college professors have on their hands is, who was He? Who was He? If He's who He said He was, then your whole life is wasted unless you live it for His glory. If He's not who He was, you are a nut. You say, "Why you say I'm a nut?" Because you're sitting in church this morning, wasting your time when you could be home asleep. So I reckon you must believe a little bit that He's who He says He was, or you wouldn't be here, right? And I know a lot of you have a whole lot. And a lot of you got your doubts. And there may be somebody here this morning that would say, "I don't even believe that's who He says." Well, you'd be surprised, the people in the world, their different opinions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod was hunting Him, and I'm going to give you some opinions given here in just a minute. And the Bible said in verse 7, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them," that's Matthew 2:7, "of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to bed. Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Now you know he wasn't wanting to worship him. He was wanting to have him killed. And the Bible said they had heard the king. They departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. My soul, think about this. You think about this morning. Never before had there been a birth that affected the world like this man's birth. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do and something I don't like to do. I'm going to read you some stuff this morning. I don't like to do that. I like to just haul off and run all over the place and preach. But this morning I feel it's necessary to get my point across to read you just a few quotes for just a couple of minutes out of Life magazine over what the world thinks about Jesus Christ. Who was He? Back before I got saved, there was a rock opera came out about the time, you know, you remember back in the early 70s, called Jesus Christ Superstar. And boy, I remember them singing that song, and I didn't like it. Before I saved it, it bothered me. Something inside me just said, man, that ain't right. And I didn't even know what it said, but I remember they kept saying, Jesus Christ Superstar, who are you? What did you sacrifice? And they asked that question over and over and over, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? That was the hippies in 1970 asking the question, who are you? Who are you? Who is this man that made all this difference? Who is this one man that there's buildings just like this all over the country and around the world in honor of him? Who is this man that 800 people would gather in Marion, North Carolina to honor? Who is that man? Do you know that 800 people doing anything in Marion, North Carolina is a major thing? Doing anything, brother. Doing anything in a little town like this. In one spot, that's not counting the other 199 churches in this county. Where there's people all over the place singing songs, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. I'm telling you, brother, there ain't never been nobody showed up, had the effect on this world that He had. Never. You're going to have to deal with this man. You're going to have to deal with him. You can meet me and forget about it and you ain't lost nothing. But you can't get by that easy by just passing up the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Graham said about that rock opera back in the early 70s. They asked him what he thought about it. And he said it lacks a clear presentation of the gospel. I appreciate what he said. That's true. Left him hanging on the cross. It left him there, never showed a resurrection, never supplied the answer to the question, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? It just left it hanging. And as a result, we have a generation of people this morning who think Jesus Christ is whatever you want Him to be to you. If you believe He's your best friend, He's there. And if you believe He's just mythology, He's there. And I want to prove that to you by a few quotes. The title of the message this morning is, What Child Is This? What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap was sleeping? Who was that baby in Bethlehem's manger? What was it about one baby, Jewish baby's birth? What was it about that one man's birth that made them change the calendar and start dating time from his birth? Amen? You know what I like? I like the thoughts of this. I like the thoughts of Madeline Mary O'Hara or Jane Fonda. Or Arsenio, you know, or Michael Jackson, or anybody like that. I love the thoughts of them writing a check and writing 1994. Because every time they write down 1994, they are acknowledging where that come from. That's 1904 years, the time He showed up. You believe in Jesus? Madeline Mary O'Hara says, no, there never was such a person. What you got? When was you born, Madeline? I think she was born 1913 or 1813. And I said, where'd you get that date, Miss O'Hara? She said, well, I don't know. It's because of these crazy men. No. There's always been crazy people. Why did the calendar change when that one man showed up? Well, was it called B.C. before he got here, before Christ? And A.D. after he was gone. Anno Domini. That means the year of our Lord. Not after death, like a lot of people say. That's Anno Domini means the year of our Lord. The year He showed up. Why is it called that? What is special of this man's birth? We believe he was born of a virgin. We believe that Mary was a virgin. Now, our philosophers and our doctors and our scientists, they can't handle that one. A lot of our professors of religion, they say that's not necessary. Matter of fact, it's ridiculous. Tell you the truth, it's scientifically impossible that a woman can have a baby, give birth to a baby, without the physical aid of a man being involved. It is impossible that a virgin have a baby. And I've heard them say this. They'll say he couldn't have had a human mother. If he didn't have a father, he couldn't have got here if all he had was a mother and not a father. Hey man, I'll tell you one wilder than that. Adam and Eve got here without a mama or a daddy. What do you think about that? Adam and Eve didn't have a belly button. See, they didn't grow up. They're just born big. Or created big. Why? Why would it be a big deal to you if God can... can make the world and God can take dust and make Adam of it, it's no problem for God, the Holy Ghost, to overshadow a Virgin Mary and place a baby in her womb. That's no big deal. He used Mary as an incubator to house the Son of God till it was born. I like that song that said, who do you think would believe such a thing? I said, wouldn't you? I believe that today. I believe He was born of a virgin. What, that child was born in Bethlehem's manger. He was not the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier, like they try to claim. He was not Joseph's son, as the new modern versions of the Bible say, Luke 2:33. He was the Son of God. God's Son, with God's blood, according to Acts 20, running through His vein. Who do you think He was this morning? Who do you think He was? Who do you think that Jesus Christ was? Let me give you some quotes. Peter Byan is a professor of English at Dartmouth College. He's the translator of The Last Temptation of Christ. Here's what he said. I don't think we know who Jesus was. Now, as I read their quotes to you, I can't help but stop and slap it a little bit as I go along. So this guy says, I don't think we know who Jesus is. Now, you just got a perfect illustration of a professor, brother. He says, we don't know. What he means is, he don't know. And these educated guys think if they don't know something, nobody else don't know it. They're conceited, as the Bible calls it. Vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. He says, we don't know. He says, speak for yourself, big boy. I know some grandmas up in the mountains up here who do know who he was. Amen? I got to read his quote. I'm just going to stop and slap it every now and then. The Gospels, his quote, which were written for political purposes to convert people after the fact. 50 years at least. He said the Gospels were wrote 50 years after he was here, and the only reason they were written were for political purposes. Mary, well, obviously he had a mother, so it had to be somebody. Her name doesn't matter. Then listen to what he says. One Gospel writer says he was born in Nazareth, and the other says Bethlehem. Joseph might have been a shoemaker, not a carpenter. Some traditions said Jesus had brothers, and Joseph had no other children. There is a professor of a college, Dartmouth College, translator, and this guy has not got the slightest idea in the world what he's talking about. If you know your Bible, you picked it up just like that. He said one Gospel writer said he was born in Bethlehem and the other in Nazareth. It don't done it. Got that good English, didn't you? One Gospel writer don't say he's born in Bethlehem, the other in Nazareth. It don't say it. The Gospels teach that he was born in Bethlehem. God don't know what he's talking about. He's taking advantage of a people's ignorance of the Bible and cramming that stuff down their throat. I'm telling you, you better read your Bible before you believe a bunch of junk that they'll tell you in college. You say, are you against education? No, I think education's good as long as it don't contradict the Bible. And where education contradicts the Bible, education is wrong and the Bible's right. That's why somebody said education without salvation is damnation. That's right. You're not educated unless you know the Bible. You're not really educated. Somebody said that he had brothers and sisters, and another tradition said he did. Here he shows his ignorance of the Bible. Jesus did have brothers and sisters. No big deal. Third graders can know that. But professors have a hard time with it. Quote, John Murray, who is this? What child is this? The president of American Atheists. You want to hear what he says? In Life magazine, they read this all over the airports and all over the businesses and beauty shop. Here's what he says, quote, there was no such person in the history of the world as Jesus Christ. Mental problems. There was no historical, living, breathing, sentient human being by that name, ever. The Bible is fictional, non-historic narrative. The myth is good for business. That's what he said. This guy said that there is no historical man ever lived named Jesus Christ. Oh, brother. Come on, man. Give us a break. We are intelligent American people. How dare you insult our intelligence by saying there was no... Listen, There is more evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, eyewitness evidence, than there was Abraham Lincoln got shot in a theater. More evidence. You believe Abraham Lincoln was shot in a theater? Well, how do you believe? How do you know that? Some man just told you that. He might have just made that up. People just say that and you just believe it because you was raised that way. You say, I don't have no problem believing Abraham Lincoln was shot. You know why? Because the devil don't care if you believe Abraham Lincoln was shot. But the devil does care. That's why these little voices say, you reckon it's really true? Do you believe he really was there? Does you ever hear a little voice say, do you really believe Abraham Lincoln shot? That never enters your mind, don't you? You just accept that and believe it. You're brainwashed, man. You've been to a cult called school. And they told you that Abraham Lincoln was shot. You just was great. No, the truth is, history teaches us reliable historical facts say that Abraham Lincoln was shot in a theater by, what's his name? The guy of the booth. And he run off and hid in the warehouse or something like that. And all that stuff with Kennedy and all that stuff. Sound like a fairy tale, but it ain't. It's true. And history tells us reliable historical facts. There was a man named Jesus. He did perform miracles. He did do miracles. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose the third day. And he's looking at you right now. He can see you right now. Just a tad on this, Brother Roy. Quote, Bishop John Spong. This is the Episcopal Bishop of Newark, New Jersey, author of Born of a Woman. Quote, if Paul was going to create a person out of a whole cloth, he never would have located him in this scrubby little Galilean town. That's an Episcopal preacher. You know, a preacher like that ain't got no job. If Jesus ain't real, what's he doing preaching, taking people's money? Why don't he sell vacuum cleaners or Fuller brushes? Or liniment, you know, what you call that old? Yeah, Rawlings products. Why don't he quit? Why he can't even get his shirt on straight, let alone tell people about a historical fact. I'm telling you, brother, listen, he was a historical figure. I'm supposed to be reading you these quotes, but I just can't help commenting. Kevin O'Neill, a Buddhist monk, says this, quote, the value for a Buddhist comes not from proving whether he did exist. His significance lies in the lessons of the Jesus story. The scholar in me keeps going back to wondering if he existed. But as a Buddhist, I say, values are more important than flesh and blood facts. If people say he existed, then he existed. Because the lessons of the life that we are told about are important indeed. You know what you just heard there? You heard nothing. You heard Captain Kangaroo right there. Lyndon Johnson, that's who you heard right there. Which means you can talk 5 minutes and say nothing. You heard a president's speech right there. That's what that was. And see, friends, part of my friends are in favor of this bill. And part of my friends are opposed to this bill. And I feel like I must side with my friends. See, that's what that is. Just shut up, man. That's somebody just making a living. He has no belief. He has no opinion. And y'all get mad at me. Some of you get mad at me because, oh, Denny Kissels, he's so narrow-minded. Listen, brother, I can afford to be narrow-minded because I'm right. If you say the sun's hot, people can call you narrow-minded all they want to. It's a fact. It's a fact, brother. It's a fact that he was from the dead. It's a fact. He's looking at you right now. He's looking at you. He can see you right now. See right in your heart. Listen to this one. Robert Eisman. He's a Dead Sea Scrolls scholar. He says this. The scrolls indicate that the kind of group he would have been born into was dedicated to God in a very extreme purist manner with a large set of Puritan regulations. Vegetarianism, never eating unclean foods, particularly bathing practices. I believe Jesus, if he existed among these groups, probably the cult that included James, the scroll's chief character, and a man often seen as Jesus' brother. Wrong to a cult. You know what somebody else said about him? A Unitarian minister. Quote, he is the author of God and Other Famous Liberals. Ralph Waldo Emerson, a Unitarian, was a spiritualist as Jesus was. Emerson believed that Jesus was one deeply in touch with what Emerson called the oversoul. We can't see it in ourselves, so we have to recognize it in others. Y'all getting this, ain't you? You understand that? And then reflected in the other's eyes, we can see our own image. So we gaze into his eyes. We would see divine eyes. We would see our own eyes. It ain't no people's crazy that listen to that kind of stuff. That's insane, man. That reminds me of people. I say this respectfully. That reminds me of people in an institution. This guy's he's educated beyond his intelligence. What if I come out here next Sunday morning and said, folks, we can't see Jesus in ourselves easily. We have to recognize it in others. And then reflected in the other's eyes, we can see our own image. So when we gaze into his eyes, we would see divine eyes. We would see our own eyes. Could you sit there with a straight face and listen to that? I can't believe these people. I can't believe somebody could sit in a building and listen to a guy talk like that. He's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. Nobody talks like that in their right mind. You got an old preacher who screams and hollers and spits on the first three rows and stomps and jumps on. You don't have to worry about him. He ain't going to hurt you. He's harmless. You know who you better watch out for? It's these guys that say, dearly loved. And they talk 10 minutes and you don't know what they said. You don't know where he's for it or against it. When you get through, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's the kind of people we're dealing with. Wonder, why didn't they interview us and let us put our quote in Life magazine? I think they should have put Brother Jack Wood's opinion in here, or Brother Jimmy Robbins, or at least Jack Hiles, or some Brother Fred Potter, or Ruckman, or somebody like that, don't you? Narrow-minded people write these magazines. I tell you, pitiful people are that narrow-minded. Here's what a fella said. Karen Armstrong, it's not a fella. Karen Armstrong. Greek Orthodox theologians say the main purpose of Jesus was to bring God and man closer, but not necessarily to die in the atoning way that we've developed in the West. In other words, she's saying the doctrine of the atonement is something we just invented here in America, if you didn't catch that, which is bull. Their favorite image of Jesus is not the crucified figure, but the transfigured. The divinity shines through him rather than the image of Buddha sitting under a bow tree, the example of deified humanity, which we shall all be like one day. Quote, Islam does not accept that he was crucified, died, and then was resurrected. Islam believes he was taken to heaven without dying, without suffering the pain of death. If he went to heaven without dying, we're all going to hell. Barbara Thiering, Dead Sea Scrolls, author of Jesus the Apocalypse. Quote, it's in the scrolls if you really study the codes. It was not a resurrection. He was put on the cross. Now listen to these people, man. These people writing religious books. Those within his own party, trying to help him commit suicide, gave him poison, the sponge dipped in vinegar. I'm going back up and read that again. This is what people are teaching Jesus did. She said he didn't die on the cross. His party, his friends, were trying to help him commit suicide. So they figured he made a flop. So the only way he could really get a following is just die a martyr's death, and it was all planned that way in state to try to get people to follow him. And they said when he gave him, you know in the Bible where it said they put that sponge and that vinegar up to him? They said that was poison, and it knocked him out. He was unconscious for a while, and they put him in the cave. People thought he was dead, and then he come out and he appeared to everybody and said that he rose from the dead. She's real smart because she's some kind of professor. But you always make a fool out of yourself when you go against the Word of God. She forgot. She missed one little detail reading her Bible. The Bible said when they put that sponge up to his mouth that he didn't take it in. He refused it. That's pretty strong poison there, man. Just look at it and it knock you out for 3 days. You always make a fool out of yourself when you go against God's Word. Karen Armstrong, to say that crucified man was God was blasphemous in the Jewish world. Yet this unlikely idea became a non-starter in religious terms. Oh boy. And on and on and on and on and on. The last I'll give you is this, and I'm going to get off of this stuff right now. He said this. One guy had a little sense here. A couple of them did. Richard Miller. They did have Jerry Falwell, by the way. This guy said this. The Bible is the fundamental way to view him. Amen. There was a virgin birth. Amen. Jesus was all powerful. Amen. He was brought here to save man. He was God made flesh. God walking the earth. He was man and yet God. Amen, brother. Amen. There's a guy with a little brains in his head. What child is this? Who laid the rest? What are you going to do with it? looking at you right now. He's looking at you right now. You listening to me? Say, who is he, preacher? His birth was different. It changed the world. His life was different. At 12 years old, you see him in the temple asking doctors questions that they couldn't answer and answering their question. I like that story where the doctors asked him one of them questions. Said, son, where are you from? And he said, on my mother's side, I'm from Bethlehem. But on father's side, I'm from glory in heaven. They said, I've never heard a 12-year-old kid give an answer like that. They said, well, son, how old are you? He said, on my mother's side, I'm 12. He said, on my father's side, these doctors going, wow, check this guy out, man. He said, on my father's side, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. Never had a beginning. Never had it. Listen, Jesus Christ wasn't a new person created. He was a pre-existent person incarnated. He always had been. He never did start. He was always there. He just took a body in Bethlehem's manger. They said, well, what's your name? He said, well, on my mother's side, my name is Jesus. That's what they call me, and his name shall be called Jesus. But on my father's side, I'm wonderful. Counselor. The everlasting God. The Prince of Peace. They said, you're the everlasting God? A 12-year-old boy? And the Bible said his mom came and found him and he went down home with them. And listen to this. The Bible said he was subject unto them. Here's God walking around in a 12-year-old body obeying a sinner, Mary and Joseph. Now that gets rid of you kids' excuses. If you say, my mommy ain't what they ought to be, so I don't have to obey them. Hey, he was sinless. And they were sinful. Joseph and Mary were sinners, you know. Mary had to get saved just like any other sinner. Joseph did too. That's why she brought the turtle doves there in the first few chapters of the gospel to offer an atonement for her sins. And he was subject to them. Here's God. Yes, ma'am. What would you like me to do, mother? My soul. What child is this? Death was different. Cross is loved by million. How many people do you know that worship, literally worship, the death of any other man in this world? You got a lot of headbangers worship the ex-life of Kurt Cobain. But you don't know nobody sits around every Sunday and say, he died for me! He died for me! He died for me! I mean millions of people worship his death every week in their life. What child is this? He's different. He's a God-man. You don't hear people honoring the, oh, wasn't it wonderful the day Buddha died? Well, it was, but not for that reason. The day Einstein died just means so much to me. You don't ever hear nobody say that. It's always his teaching. It's teaching, his teaching, his teaching. Carry on his teaching. He still lives and he's teaching. It's not like that with Jesus. He's different. He's the one who saved me as a teenager at Nebo Baptist Church and changed my life 5 miles down the road, right down that road right there. Jesus Christ touched my life and changed me. And I've never been the same from that moment to this. Never been the same. I ain't always been what I should be. I'm telling you, man, there's been something inside me been different ever since that night. Who else can do that? What child is this? Who is this that we bring out these flowers for and have these little plays tonight? What makes the kids' heart jump when they come in here tonight and we sing joy to the world, the Lord has come, silent night and away in a manger? There's more to it than just a story. It's more than just a cute little story of a baby in a manger. Brother, that was God's son. Hallelujah. It was God's son in that baby's body that day in Mary's bosom. God's son, God's son. Looking at you right now. He's got his eyes on us right now. He's looking right down through this ceiling and right on this church. Ain't you, Lord? You're looking right down on us. And he can see you and he knows what's in your heart and he knows what's in my heart. And you can't get away from it. Bing do just come clean with you. What child is this? You got to decide in your own mind. Was he God? Was he the Savior? heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Well, this is a song this morning. Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of you have been waiting and putting this thing off and putting it off and putting it off for a long time now. And you might as well just quit running. He's looking at you now. I may have said some things that upset you. I may have said some things that bothered you. I don't know. I didn't mean to. I don't want to. I want to try to tell you the truth. There's folks coming and getting right with the Lord already this morning. Folks are coming to the altar. If you feel the need to come, if you feel the need to really settle that issue between you and God this morning and make it public, get it right, we invite you to come while we sing and while we pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's struggling, trying to figure out what child is this. Is he really who he says he was? Lord, we know you are. But maybe they don't. I pray you'd reveal it to them this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, do what ought to be done in every heart and every life. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. These are coming this morning. If God